Hello, and welcome to a very special Contending at the Water Cooler podcast. I'm Megan McLaughlin, co-founder of thecontending.com, and I'm here with Tarsha from Grits and Gab, who's returning to the podcast to talk about Netflix's explosive new documentary, Unknown Number, The High School Catfish. Hello, Tarsha. How are you?
Hi, Meg. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to see you and so excited to talk about this with you.
Me too. We've been texting about it, so yeah. It's time we talk about it.
I know. And like, I actually don't know too much other than your videos that I saw where you were like making a funny face, which made me laugh. So I'm like, I can't wait to talk about this. So let's get into it. So listeners, if you've not watched Unknown Number, The High School Catfish, I suggest you stop right now and go watch it and come back, because they're going to spoil the hell out of it. So first, Unknown Number comes from Sky Boardman, who directed some of my personal favorite docuseries, like Abducted in Plain Sight,
Girl Loved It.
Yeah, and this particular film follows a high school couple aged like 14 who start receiving mean text messages, which sounds pretty gossipy and lame, right? But the text messages escalate and start to become threatening and even expand outside of the couple to people
sexual.
They come in contact with.
Yeah, they're filthy. Some of those messages are filthy.
I have a story about like where I was watching this. But so after years of this, we learn who the real texter is, and it's beyond a surprise. So that is the gist of it. Tarsha, did you know this story before seeing the film?
I did not. But you know me, I am a documentary junkie, so I'm going to watch any new documentary that comes on Netflix. I mean, I like documentaries on any and everything, but okay. Unknown Number, High School Catfish. Okay, that sounds interesting. I'm watching it. Okay, this is good. It's getting better. OMG. It's like layer after layer of crazy. And then all of a sudden at the end, and we'll get to the plot twist. And I'm like sitting there looking at the TV with my mouth wide open, like, who? Why?
I saw people talking. So I was in Telluride when this was blowing up, and I saw people talking about it on Twitter. And so on my flight home, I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to watch it on my phone. Mm-hmm. And so then when those text messages are coming up, it's like something about a BJ, something about you should kill yourself really big.
Yes.
All these things, I felt like, oh my God, people are going to wonder what I'm watching. Like, but I had the same reaction as you. I did not know the story. But I'd seen headlines about this story that I didn't realize were connected.
Right.
Overall, what did you think of the film in general? Like, was it, like, did you think it was well done, or did you think it was?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I thought it was well done too.
It was very well done. And the way it was put together, you really did not have a clue who could have done what. I mean, at any given time in the documentary, it could have been Owen. It could have been the daughter. It could have been a dad. It could have been a mom. It could have been someone outside the family. You just did not know. And the way the person who ended up being the person conducted her interviews throughout, I never would have guessed it. I mean, I rewatched it actually this morning when I was getting dressed, and the way she was talking, it just sounded like, you know, we were so concerned. You know, the four of us went to the school and we just wanted to get to the bottom of it, and the school wasn't doing anything to help us.
I know.
What?
I have a rule with, like, when I listen to Dateline podcasts or watch Dateline, and if they don't interview the husband or they don't interview the key other players, I'm like, oh, well, that person did it. So that's why I felt like, oh, well, they're interviewing everybody. So it can't be the parents. It can't be certain people. And then, so when that happens, I was like, oh, wow. So she agreed to be talking about this, which I guess we could talk about the twist of the story, you know, that it's revealed that, you know, this bullying that was going on for all these years between, like, just this text message were incessant too. Like, how do you have time to, like, these poor kids were getting those text messages like dozens of times a day while they're
all day long during
all
the school day in the evening, just And I think at one point it was like 300 a day or so. It was some weird, a crazy number.
Yes. And when it's revealed that the daughter's mother, Lauren's mother is the person behind this. I was shocked that she agreed to be interviewed for this. I wonder why.
Not only agreeing to be interviewed, but like I said, throughout the entire interview, she was like this innocent person. I never would have suspected her. You know, we went to the school and I was just so concerned about my child and we didn't know what to do and blah, blah. Any concerned parent. And it turns out it's you.
Yeah. And I'm surprised the interview didn't like stop. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're saying that you felt you were worried and you're the one behind it. Which even though she claimed she was not behind it, the first ones.
The first two.
Yes.
So, I saw a meme that said, you know, 3,000 texts were sent, but you're claiming that you didn't send the first two.
Right. Yes. Which, that bitch totally sent those first
two. Why are you, I mean, just, yeah, it doesn't just even matter those two. It.
Yeah, just
and the reason why she sent them is because she wanted to get to the bottom of who sent those first couple. I was hoping they'd text back. Heifer, are you crazy? I mean, and it turns out she is crazy.
Yeah, she is crazy. So I kind of wish the documentary would have gone more into her psyche and this like this digital Munchausen syndrome that I think is something new that I think is also, there is this case that came out it's been out for a while. This is a horrible, another catfishing case that I've been listening to podcasts about in addition to listening to a bunch of podcasts about this too, but it's about this husband who catfished his wife, pretending to be her ex-boyfriend from 20 years ago. And then he murdered her.
Like, because she was having an emotional affair with
this? He wasn't, though. She was avoiding this guy. She was I don't want to talk to you. I'm married. And he was texting her and then he killed her. But I'm just what did he want to be I don't know what was going on there, but I do think there's something to this catfishing and this especially with this case. I really wanted to hear from from this documentary. I really wanted to hear from an expert. Hey, what's happening here? Was she actually, because I think there's different ways of looking at this. Was she interested in Owen, which is the darkest timeline?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think she was interested
in Owen? His mother believed that, and so did he, because, you know, they said that she did pay him extra attention and all of that. I mean, that could have been a factor. I also believe, and let's just be honest, mama's not a looker. So, you know, her daughter is a pretty little girl or whatever. And I guess after the fact, we found out that mom didn't have a great childhood or had some things happen to her, whatever. Maybe she was jealous of her daughter and just, you know, but even so.
The things she texted her were just, God.
To kill yourself?
That and just to you have no tits. You have no, your body's terrible. You're so anorexic.
Your ass is flat. Owen's going to break up with you.
Yes. What? Your mother. All those things that you go to, I guess the other timeline, the other possible reasoning was that she felt like she was losing her daughter and was bullying her daughter. So her daughter would come to her and complain about
these
things.
Silly.
I don't know if I completely buy that.
No.
Even though that does have the Munchausen thing, I think she was bored. And
I do too.
And I think she was my daughter has more of a life than I do. I'm jealous of her. I don't know that necessarily she wanted to get with Owen, but it was weird that when Owen does break up, Owen and Lauren break up, and then he starts going out with a girl at a different school, and then Kendra starts bullying that girl, the mother, at the different school, which the mother, that's a weird thing. But that, that is weird where it's kind of taking it beyond, the couple and almost makes it seem Owen was part of her obsession.
I don't know. I just think that, we never even heard the whole mental illness thing, of course, until she got to court. And it's just really, lady, really?
Yes.
So I don't even know that she's mentally ill. I just think if you in the documentary where her cousin says that she's always got to be the center of attention and has always had to be the center of attention. Like the cousin's doing the interview and she was like, you know, I'm talking to you now. If I'm talking to you and she was here, she'd be over in the corner dancing to get you to right. look at her. So yeah. it was just, she was getting attention. And I think that was, you know, kind of intoxicating to her to be able to get that type of attention or whatever. I don't know that it's necessarily Munchausen or whatever, but right. I think she was jealous of the daughter. I think she just wanted attention. She was bored. She didn't have a job, which we need to talk about that part.
Yes. What's what is going on with that part? Yes. The fact that she
allegedly had two jobs. I mean, did you not notice, sir, that there was no income coming into your house other than your own? Well, right. She handled the finances.
Yes. I didn't quite understand how he couldn't see, like, if she was texting people also all times of the day where they were together, would he not know? Or she also had, like, that burner phone, too. She had, like, a separate phone, right, for this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't, or, like, had multiple phones. But I don't quite understand that either, that, well, then that also gets into, though, the other theory was that, you know, Lauren and Sean were all, and Kendra were all in on this together. I tend to not believe that. I don't think, but I don't know. Maybe I do wonder though if Lauren had a hunch at one point. And then just kind of was protecting her mother.
I was actually talking to somebody this morning about this, the documentary, and telling them I was going to be on this podcast. And I really think that Lauren knew something because there was zero surprise when the police right. told her. Right. Zero surprise, zero reaction. And if my mother had sent me all of those texts, she wouldn't be hugging. You, how the mom was just latched on her and hugging her and stroking her hair and kissing all over her. You couldn't do that to me right in that moment.
Right. I was wondering about that too. That was one of the, that's the most disturbing scene, I think, in probably that I've possibly seen on television this year too. Like when they're going into that, I was thinking, oh, Kendra's going to fight and be like, oh no, but she kind of just gives in immediately. Like, oh, you got me.
And I'm yelling at the TV the whole time, get a lawyer. She's just singing like a canary and there's just like legal representation, ma'am. Where's your lawyer? Shut up.
Although she did have her story straight that I did not do the first two text messages. I love that that's what she sticks to. I did not do it at first.
I only sent 5,000, but the first two I did not send, Your Honor.
But like her, when she says, oh, do we want to tell Lauren? It's like, yeah, I think we should probably tell Lauren. Like the cops, I'm surprised though, they weren't more protective of her. They were kind of just like, bring her out. And then she looks a little shocked, but she also looks just like she doesn't know how to react. And maybe, I don't know, but I do wonder if she, because she doesn't seem to fight back, or like she doesn't seem to be upset at all by what her mother has done.
But even throughout the whole documentary, she was just so even and just like she's medicated. It's just like,
yes,
you know, we used to cheer and we used to play sports. It's just like, she never a tear dad. Shed, never upset about anything, you know, but maybe that's just her personality. You know, she's just so laid back. But can we talk about the two people who were very animated? The parents that said, I told you so.
Yes. And I kind of was waiting for them to do more with that, like, because I read that. So I listened to other podcasts about this and they said that that couple from the beginning has been like, you need to look at Kendra. Like all along. And I guess a lot of you, I think you maybe mentioned this too. Maybe somebody else said it. A lot of people, the whole town kind of suspected that it was her is what I've heard. Like
that, the cousin even said that she's always had to be the center of attention. Yeah. So a lot of people thought it could be, at least if it wasn't her, a parent.
Yes. And I was surprised that like they didn't maybe implant. Well, maybe they wanted that element of surprise. So when we do find out, it's like, because even when I was watching it on the plane, I'm like, when the reveal comes like an hour into the film and it's like an hour and a half, I'm like, what else is going to happen now? And then like them interviewing her was interesting. But I'm also like, I just don't buy this story of like, oh, I had trauma as a kid. It's like, okay, well, everybody. everybody has degrees of trauma, as it showed, from like light trauma to heavy trauma, but that doesn't make you
text your kid and tell them to kill themselves.
Right.
You just don't do that.
And the fact that they said, were you ever worried she actually would do it? And she was like, no, because she had me. And I'm just like, okay.
But that couple, what were yes. Chloe's parents? Because yes. they had targeted Chloe at some point thinking that she was sending the text, and they're just like, no. But honestly, it could have been those parents, because they were really animated, and that mom, I would not mess with her.
Oh, she was serious. Yeah.
But they were right.
I felt bad for Chloe, too, because they had painted her as this, like,
yeah.
villain, and she even, like, has, I think she has to get up and leave at some point and during yeah. the interview, because she's emotional, and it's just like, Kendra, look
that
what you did. Look what you did to all of these kids. Like, Owen probably can't date. Like, he probably has problems, like, giving out his number. I was thinking about that, too, with all these kids. Like, you know, Owen probably is like, I'm afraid to give my number to anybody. And if you get a text message, it's probably a trigger. Like, how terrible. I wish the film would have explored more of what was going on with Kendra. That was, like, the one thing. I also thought that Lauren's interviews were very strange. I think they said that they filmed some before or like years ago and then some after. There was like a jump. You're absolutely right. I felt like they were very even keeled and she like didn't seem to show an emotion. She was like,
none.
Holding back. She's somebody I worry about too and wonder, you know, I would love to see what kind of relationship she has with her mother now. Like what that is like. Those letters her mom was writing her too were super creepy from prison.
Love, 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 love. It's just like something is wrong with her. You know what I mean? I really think that because I really don't believe that she's taken full responsibility for what she's done. You know, she felt like she really was doing this from a place of love and it was from a place of crazy. And yes. she's still just seems kind of unstable to me, just sitting there, the way she just gave this interview, just so la-di-da and telling the story like she wasn't the plot twist, you know, like she wasn't the person who sent these texts. And that's why I had to go back and rewatch it. It's just like, wait a minute. And then I really paid attention to her and I'm like, wow.
That's interesting that you said that she's acting like she's not the plot twist, because you would think that would be something she would want to lean into because she loves the attention. So
that's, or either it's just good editing, the way they did it.
Good, you know? Yeah, maybe they were just like...
Because it was very well done, the way they put, together. it just, you didn't know who it could be. And I love a good documentary that does that, or a good movie that does that, where you think it's 10 different people and the person you least expect.
Yeah.
You know,
I know, me too. Cause I just kept thinking, well, maybe it's a kid from a different school. Maybe it's it's somebody or some random like janitor, you know, somebody random at the school who's like doing stuff. But the fact that it was her and that she had all this free time to do this.
But she had a tech background too, apparently. So that's how she was able to do, you know, the spoofing. So they didn't know it was her number or a number related to her.
Do you think, so she's only spent like a year in jail. Do you think that was like, no, I heard she was looking at like 35 years at some point or something. I don't know how they got it down to a year, but like, do you think that she should have been in longer? Or would you think? Yeah, I also was surprised that they didn't hone in on the whole idea that she might be obsessed with Owen. Like, I do wonder if she were a man and this was happening, would she have been in jail longer?
And I think it was only like two counts of whatever felony, whatever it was. But for two felonies against children and then younger teens. And I don't know. I feel like there should have been some additional charges in there somewhere. And I think she got like 19 months, but didn't serve the whole 19 maybe. But it wasn't enough.
Yeah. I also, on the podcast that I listened to, they read... there's an article in The Cut by, I think her name is Emily Smiley. I think she wrote it. I think I can't remember. But it's about this story. And it talks about how when Kendra was first accused, that she tried throwing her daughter under the bus. Like, I guess they didn't, that she was like, maybe it's Lauren. And she was like, did try like throwing other people under the bus at first too. So she Like, that was one thing.
Well, she's not that crazy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I do feel like this was a documentary that after I watched it, I had more questions and it made me want to go and listen to more things and read more things, which is both a good thing and a bad thing. I kind of wished that we had more of, I mean, maybe they didn't have the ending that they, you know, sometimes these documentaries go into editing and you know, get changed or the story's not done whenever they're, but I did want like a little more of like what was going on with her and what, yeah.
It was just wild to me. Can we talk about the husband?
Yeah.
What was hilarious to me was when they called him to come home from work and he told, once he found out, he told her, use my phone, call your parents to come get you.
Right.
You better leave this house with the police or before they leave because I'm not responsible. He was ready to jack her up. So I really don't think he had anything to do with it because that
I don't think he did either. I thought that was a genuine reaction. And I felt
him, and he was hurt. And I mean, just he was more emotional to me than anybody. I mean, at the end when he was crying about everything that, he, you know, his family was lost and what she did to her own child that she supposedly loved or whatever, you know, and the fact the family's finances, you know, she got them put out of their home.
Like multiple times, I think.
It's just like they had to put everything in storage. He had a couple of hours to put everything that they owned in storage.
Yeah.
I don't think he had anything to do with it because there's so many theories out there on social media, but I don't think he knew.
I don't think he did either because I did think like, I really appreciated him being like, yeah, you need to do this as I don't want to go to jail. And then our kids have no parents. I thought that was like such an honest reaction and broke my heart for him. You know, I'm like, also like, how did you not see this was going on? Like, but you never know if you're in a bad, I mean, it seemed like a bad marriage, but, I was glad that he was able to get out of that. But that was heartbreaking.
Well, somebody said something along the way, and I believe he said something about there were signs along the way or some whatever, but I mean, I think it may have been like financial stuff, but
yeah,
I'm sorry. He's complicit in the fact that he didn't know where the family finances were going, that this woman who supposedly had two jobs at one point wasn't bringing in any income. So where was your spending money coming from? I mean, you didn't know anything about your finances?
Right. And she would like show up at the school. They talked about that too, where she would like show up at the school randomly and like in her Ferris State sweatshirt that she really didn't work at. Like she was just trying to fake it. Which is weird that you would think that like, I work there. I'm going to wear the sweatshirt. Like that's just.
She's just weird.
Yeah. I think it's strange that Owen and the family hate Lauren, like at the end, that they really seem to like, they really don't like her. And I was thinking that was strange to me because Lauren's a victim. I mean, even if she had a hunch that her mom was doing this, I still think she's a victim in this. And I wonder what if the, I feel like there's more to this story that we're not getting. Why I think it's the Wilsons, right? Why they hate Lauren so much, or like not, they just seem to be like, we don't talk to her, we don't want to talk to her, we don't want to associate with her. And I was surprised by that reaction because I really thought that they'd be like, we feel bad for her, you know, she's got she's kind of, but they seem to have no remorse. And I wondered what you thought of that too.
I think like for me, Lauren is just so laid back and so chill, and I think the fact that she didn't really react to anything. Maybe they wanted her to be angrier than she was or something. I mean, she just, it's just like, oh, la-di-da about everything. And that could have been a source of frustration for them. Cause I mean, it really kind of irritated me, even though she is a child and she is the victim. But even so, I mean, she's just like,
yeah,
it happened. It's my mom, you know, get angry, cry. Yeah. I mean, there's just, or maybe she's just, there's a lot of trauma that's built up from everything that happened or whatever. You know, she just needs to be in counseling. But yeah, it's very obvious that these people don't like Lauren anymore. And I think they're lumping her in with her mother because she and her mother were so close that they felt like maybe she should have known something or whatever. But, you know, she was just as much as a victim as Owen. And even worse, I would say, because it was her mother.
Right. I feel like there's just, I felt a lot of pity for her. I mean, I'm not, obviously I'm not Owen, but I just felt like, oh, like one, I guess I understand not wanting to talk to her anymore, but I also felt like there was no degree of like, oh, she's in a bad situation. And like,
at all. I never heard that from anybody, not even from the cousin. You know, nobody said anything about her except the dad, you know, was concerned. But I honestly hope that these kids are in counseling, especially Chloe. Chloe was really messed up from this whole thing. You know, because she was accused. So she took the rap that, you know, the mom should have gotten.
Yeah.
And I mean, people really went after that kid.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, this Kendra ruined a lot of lives.
She really did. She really did. That's why I hate that she's out free and just so lackadaisical about it. She has no remorse. I mean, I don't see any remorse from her.
Right. Yeah, because it was just kind of like, oh, well, I was going through something and I... And did it start because Lorne wasn't invited to that Halloween party? Like, what was with that whole, like, this is a Halloween party with adults and kids or something?
It seemed to me like it's such a small community that they all did everything together, you know? And even, like, at one point when the text pictures from one of the texts came from a Christmas party or something that everybody was at. Why would you?
And they would also like wouldn't they put like funny faces on Lauren? Wouldn't Kendra put funny faces on Lauren and stuff too? Like, I just cannot. Like,
that's why I love every meme I see. And I think I sent you one or whatever. It was just like, good morning to everyone except this heifer. And it was all Kendra's picture. Yes.
Well, I kind of had an inkling that something was up with her. I didn't know that she was behind it, but I remember seeing a picture where they were like, when this bitch shows up on
screen. Yes.
And I was just like, oh, I guess she must be something. I thought maybe she knew someone, introduced her to somebody. I never thought that it was
the mother. It's like Mima-palooza with her. Her face is everywhere.
And you're right, because her interviews were so like, oh, well, then, we really wanted to know what happened. It was kind of like, it's like, I think you should leave. I'm sure you've seen like the hot dog guy who's like it's Tim Robinson dressed as the hot dog and his hot dog mobile crashes into a business. And he's like, we've got to figure out who did this. That is totally Kendra. She's just like, we've got to figure out who did this. It's like, it's you. You did it.
I don't even understand this lady, and I wonder where she is today. I think I texted you the other day. People magazine had an article about the dad, what he's up to now, and I saved it. I didn't have time to read it, but I'm going back to read it. But there's a few others out there. You know, where are they now? So I need to go and catch up and see where these people are and what's up with them. But Kendra seems to be living her best life.
Maybe she'll be on Dancing with the Stars and everybody will start getting messages and be like, what's going on?
Well, they have been known to put controversial people on there. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be her part of her redemption arc. Her and her daughter.
Oh. And her ankle bracelet. Is she on parole? Do we know?
I don't know. Probably not. I think she is on some sort of probation, though. Maybe.
I wonder. They should have made her register as like a sex offender or something for the nature of those texts.
I agree.
Filthy.
They were like,
I mean, like over the top, I'm like, nasty. So I'm wondering if she has some other kind of issues too.
Right. Yeah. That's why I really want, like, I didn't need a whole docuseries on this, but I did need like a whole section on like, what was she like growing up? Like they had like little bits. Well, who are her parents? Are her parents alive? Like, I need to meet them. What were
I need to hear from more than the cousin.
Yes.
And but the cousin did say, you know, she was always such a sweet person, would do anything for anybody.
Yes.
You know, but she had to be the center of attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yes, I know. Who knows what will.
One of the better doc. I mean, Netflix always has good documentaries.
They always
have. That's one of the best ones that I've seen in a while. And I mean, it's a talker. It's definitely.
It is. It really is. Yeah. It's so fascinating. The way it's done is like well done with like, you know, because it is such a story that I kept thinking, why am I watching this? Like in the beginning, I'm like, it's about like two 13-year-olds or two 14-year-olds who are getting text messages.
That's what I thought.
So invasive in some way. And maybe that's what people like about it, because it does seem like my hometown. And, oh, there was always the golden couple in the eighth grade, you know, and they're getting these messages. It just felt very like you're in on a like a small town. And I do think there's something to that. I think people like, I mean, I like that. I like feeling like that, but
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's fascinating, but yeah, very interesting.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, I think the fact that it was a small town is why it was just such a big deal. Well, I mean, it would be a big deal anywhere, but
yes.
Because it was such a small community, and I think they said 700 kids went to that school, and it was yes. like pre-K through 12th grade at that school, so everybody knew everybody. Yes. All the parents did stuff together, so why are you doing this to these people? It's not like you're in Chicago or New right. York where you could just blend in with thousands.
Right.
You're in a tight-knit community.
Yeah. The fact that they were, like, trying to, like, watch, they had cameras trying to be like, is that kid texting at this time?
Exactly.
Like, this whole kind of sting operation that they're trying to, and it's, I did like the principal, too, how he was just like, I'm going nuts here. Like, he just, like, God, that'd be awful.
And, yeah. The principal, I think, and when the parents wanted to come in, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kendra was one of the parents. They wanted to come into the school and, like, bum rush the kids and take their phones and check them on the spot. And the principal was like, no,
yeah,
you're not doing that. No. The coach was like, yeah, it's fine with me. And the principal was like, no.
When also, like, when Kendra was being so mean to her, like, the fact that this poor girl, I just kept thinking about what it's so hard to be a teenager to begin with. And, like, to be getting messages about yourself and, like, wow, you missed that free throw tonight, or you did this, like,
that was horrible.
Those were just, I just kept thinking, this poor girl, I just don't know how she, and then to find out it's your mother, like, the one person that I would go to as a kid. And now, even, like, I yeah. got, like, in the, to be, God, I just want to, like, give Lauren a hug, but I also, I mean, even if she did know in some capacity, what do you do? Like, yeah.
And even if she found out accidentally, she just yeah. maybe never said anything right. or whatever. But
she's the
I don't
most
know,
tragic
maybe that's
victim.
Why she wasn't surprised. But
yeah,
I really hope that she's in counseling, that her dad has her in some too. Kind of counseling.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't show up now, something from this is going to show up later.
He could do it to her own kid. Or, like, you know, who knows? Like, yeah.
Look at Gypsy Rose. They let her out right. of jail, and now she's somebody's mother. I feel sorry for that kid.
I know.
So, especially, you know,
when
we don't
that
want
kid asked about grandma. Where's
yeah,
grandma?
Lauren to have kids and then, you know, something down the line triggers her from
right.
this trauma. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But I would like you, I would like to find out more about the psyche. What where was an expert
right.
on this panel to talk about what these kids might be going through now and
right.
what in the
I
world
mean, yeah.
what exactly is this mental illness that this mom has? Because I don't even think, I think it's much more than Munchausen.
I do too. It's like attention seeking, like there's something to, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's kind of, and I do wonder, I'm sure that this documentary will cause other similar documentaries to come
yeah.
out. So maybe we'll learn more about, which is sad. I don't want people getting catfished by their parents or friends or whatever, or husbands or spouses, but like, it is fascinating. And this was a truly fascinating story.
Very much.
Yeah. Any final thoughts about Unknown Number?
Well, we've already spoiled it, but yeah. even so, if you haven't watched it, just watch it because it's still, it's just wow.
It is wow.
It's wow. But overall, I felt it's one of the better documentaries that I've seen in a while. And I watch multiple documentaries. I really, really liked it. And like you said, why am I interested in teenage drama? You know, I
right.
don't want to see this, but then like 5 minutes in, wait a minute, there's
yeah.
a little bit more to this. So if you're thinking that it's about teenage drama, it's a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
Well, as you just heard.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, I love talking documentaries and this one was worth talking about for sure.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're able to join us. And then tell everybody where they can find you online.
Yes, because I can use the followers. I am on Facebook at Grits and Gab. That's Grits with an ampersand, not an A-N-D. And all of my socials are under that. But find me on TikTok. It's Grits _Gab. And also on IG at Grits _Gab. So please find me on IG and TikTok because I have no followers.
Oh, you do, but you have been building followers. This girl is always...
I'm doing great. I have to admit, I'm doing very well on Facebook. It's just trying to get people to move to the other platforms.
I know, that gets hard. But you have breaking news. I get a lot of breaking news from you.
Oh, it's called Hot Grits.
I know, that's true. Hot Grits, yes. Hot Grits, that's right. Well, I always know what's happening, though, whenever I've seen post things. So,
and I'm also on YouTube, so find me on my YouTube channel. That's also Grits and Gab. So
great,
you can find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I'm Megan McLaughlin from The Contending, and we will see you next time.